My brothers and sisters, welcome to this week's Gospel Reflection. Let's start with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, thy well-beloved spouse. Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. He said, "There was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any human being. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, 'Render a just decision for me against my adversary.' For a long time the judge was unwilling, but eventually he thought, 'While it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me.' The Lord said, 'Pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones, who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Our Lord encourages us to pray always without becoming weary. There are methods of praying always, but we have to do our spiritual exercises. By that, I mean going to Mass, visiting Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, going to confession frequently, praying the rosary daily, doing your morning offering. These spiritual exercises will provide for us the graces necessary to live out our state in life and to help us to make everything a prayer with the sense of God's presence. Saint Alphonsus Liguori, a great doctor of the church, one of the best, has given us a great little booklet called How to Pray at All Times. In this booklet, he gives to us two dispositions that are necessary if we're going to do this pray always, praying at all times. The first is a great confidence. Anytime we go to God, we should be very confident that He loves us. We should be very confident that He's listening to us. We should be very confident that He has our best interests in mind, our spiritual interests, our sanctification first, but He's also looking out for our well-being and what's best for us. That's the first disposition. The second disposition necessary is a sense of familiarity with God. I don't mean irreverence. I mean a sense that God loves me. I am a child of God. I am a son of God, or I'm a daughter of God. I am a friend of God. Jesus himself dwelled among us. He had friends. His beloved disciple John was very close to him. John put his head on his chest. He could feel the beating of the Lord's heart on his face when he put his head there, and our Lord loved him dearly. And we have to understand that we should love Jesus with the same familiarity, and we should deal with him so, meaning that we talk to him about what's on our heart regularly. I say, "Lord, this is really bothering me. Lord, my leg is really hurting me. Lord, this person at work is really getting on my nerves. Lord, I'm tired of being sick." Don't feel like you can't talk to God about what is really on your heart. He wants you to be able to come to him familiarly, even complaining. Respectfully, but complaining, saying, "God, I don't understand why you're doing this. Why are you allowing me to suffer like this?" Part of this familiarity and this ongoing discussion that you're having with God is one also of listening. You're asking these questions, you're saying, "I need this," but this ongoing conversation that you're having should also be reciprocated. You should also be listening. What is God trying to say to me? Lord, why are you allowing this? Not just calling out into the wilderness, but pausing, being still, and listening. Now, how often should we have this familiar, confident, loving conversation with the God who loves you so intimately, so deeply? You've got to be convinced of this. You've got to be convinced that Jesus loves you more than you could possibly love any person in any circumstance. You're all he thinks about. You're all he longs for. You're all he wants. He loves you with an intense love that sets his heart on fire. That Sacred Heart of Jesus is on fire out of love for you. Be convinced of this. Be confident of this. He's always got his eyes on you. He's always got you on his mind. So how often should we speak to him? Well, we have to treat God in reality. He's really present at all times. It's best if we have an ongoing conversation with the Lord frequently in all the things that you're doing. It's very difficult to offer large things for God if we're not offering the small things to Him. So we ask Him, Lord, be with me throughout the day. Be with me here while I'm at work. Be with me while I'm cooking. Be with me while I'm cleaning. And then you offer that back to Him lovingly. Even when you sin. So where would I lose this loving conversation with God? When I turn on the television, when I get lost in worldliness, when I'm seeking to do my will. So that's why we have to constantly recall that. But also when we sin. If you commit a deliberate sin, like you commit a mortal sin, there's the temptation to run from God and to hide. Like Adam and Eve in the garden, you don't want the Lord to look at you, but you need to do the exact opposite. Again, you need to go to God and say, Lord, I've sinned against you. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. Eternal Father, I offer you Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Look upon his beautiful wounded face and have mercy on me. And like a true friend, if you've ever offended one of your friends, if you've ever sinned against one of your friends, and you've gone to them humbly, you've gone to them sincerely, and you've been vulnerable and said, my friend, I've done this against you. I'm truly sorry. Please forgive me. I resolve to do this, to avoid this in the future. I will make up to you my offense by doing X, Y, or Z. You will see that the relationship, although you've wronged this person and it was better that you never wronged them, your relationship can become much stronger than it was before. And similarly with the Lord, you may have sinned against him, but when you go back to him humbly, confidently, that knowing that he loves you, knowing that he's extending his mercy to you, this will strengthen that relationship. So it's very important that we have this ongoing conversation. This isn't just something pious. This is something a doctor of the church is saying that we should do. This is something that Jesus Christ himself is saying that we should do. I highly encourage you to check out the book. It's available as a free PDF. I'll put it in a link in the description below, called The Practice of the Presence of God, The Best Rule for a Holy Life by Brother Lawrence. In this, Brother Lawrence shares with you his experiences of having a sense of the presence of God in all that he does. Having an awareness. This is not pushing buttons in yourself. It's simply being aware of reality, aware that God is omnipresent, aware that God is omniscient, aware that God loves you and he's everywhere. He's in everything. He's holding creation into existence. St. Francis would say that God is screaming his love to you through his creation, through the environment. Well, Brother Lawrence would have an awareness that God is present at all times, not just in nature, not just by his omnipresence, but by the reality that you are a Christian, that you are baptized, you're made in the image and likeness of God, you're in the state of grace, you have the Holy Spirit, you have the Holy Trinity dwelling in your soul. Be aware of that. And that will give you confidence. Also, will help to keep you from sin. If you're aware and you have a sense that God is present at all times, are you likely to commit a solitary sin when you're all alone and you think nobody's watching? No, because you know somebody's watching. It's almost as if you were at work and you know that your boss was watching you as you work, you're going to be on your best behavior. Not that the Lord is our boss, but you have an awareness that somebody's holding you accountable, and the Lord's not our boss. The Lord is our loving God, and he wants you to do well. So you simply ask him for the graces to do well with great confidence, knowing that if you're doing his will, he's going to help you to accomplish his will with great love, and it's making you holier. Everything is enriched when you call to mind the presence of God, and then when you're offering everything out of love for him, that's the essence of holiness. Union with the will of God, doing things with great love to the best of your ability, that's what makes you a saint. Now, it's not easy. It requires great effort, especially at first, to recall this habit. It might take you weeks or even months to really instill this in you. But once you do, it will come so naturally and so beautifully, and you'll be so thankful that you have this ongoing relationship with the Lord. Now, in this gospel passage, Jesus is talking about obtaining favors. He's saying, pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? When we're asking for something, we must persevere in our prayer. Sometimes it might appear that God is telling you no. Again, in your persevering prayer, in your ongoing rosaries, it could be years, it could be months, but Jesus is saying, persevere in this prayer. Perseverance in prayer is in itself an act of faith. So many times in the Gospels, people go to Jesus for a miracle and he brushes them off. What business is this of mine, woman? It's not my hour. What does Our Lady do? She perseveres in her prayer. She insists. She's confident. Now, we're not going to manipulate God, but perseverance in prayer, we've seen in the gospel several times, where he heals a woman with a hemorrhage. We see several times God honors perseverance in prayer. So don't give up. Persevere, but again, listen. Don't just be bugging him nonstop. Bug him nonstop, but pause and listen. What is he saying to you? Are you asking for something that's not good for you? If you pause and you listen, he might share with you. If you're suffering from some great illness, Lord, heal me of this. Lord, heal me of this. Lord, heal me of this. Stop and listen. What is he saying? I promise you, he will offer you consolation. He will offer you graces, and he'll make it sweeter. Now, all of us should be very Marian. It is the will of God. God has willed, as part of his design plan, divine plan, to give you a mother who loves you. In the natural order, when children cry out to their mothers when they're sick, mother comes and they get some consolation. Even when they persist in their illness, the very fact that their mother is with them gives them comfort. Similarly, too, in the spiritual order. But we have a mother whose job and whose role it is to intercede for the people. So not only is she going to offer you consolation, because there will be times where you're going to suffer, she will offer you consolation, but she also has the power and the authority from God to intercede and actually change things. So if you're consecrated to the Virgin Mary, which I hope all of you are consecrated to the Virgin Mary, you're renewing your consecration frequently, this same activity of a familiar conversation with the Virgin Mary is very, very, very important, and it's very powerful. You've given your life to Mary. You've given her all that you have, all that you are. You're taking on all of her interests, and guess what? She's taking on all of your interests. So throughout the day, you should say, Mary, what should I do? Mary, what would you have me do? How would you like me to do it? Mary, be with me. The same kind of conversation when you're having with God. God is present. If you've given yourself to Mary, Mary is always aware of what's going on in your life. Anytime you invoke her, she's always listening. She's your loving mother. And I conclude with saying this. I encourage you to pray always. Sometimes people will say, prayer helps your relationship with God. Let me correct that and say, prayer is your relationship with God. If you're not praying, you don't have a relationship with the Lord. God bless you, God love you, and we'll see you next week.